Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people. We'll talk to
old people.
It would make us
better people
all around. Yes, it would. And if
old people
would talk to
young people,
it would make us
better people
all around. As it would. We went from radio to TV. Now we're going from LP to CD. Don't be afraid to try something new.
Yeah,
I can help you with the brand new technology. You can help me with the age old philosophy. Together there's so much we can do.
Good morning and welcome to First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. Guess what? I have a voice again. I had gotten that bronchitis and I was barking like a big dog and I had no voice. I'm a little bit hoarse still, but my God, I have my voice back. On Monday, we actually, it was such a raspy voice that I did the first part of Will You Speak For Me When I Have No Voice? And it was so amazing to me because First Lady Kathy Howard is my co-host, and she had the issue of the baby there, and she didn't want the noise, and the baby was a perfect baby. It was totally hilarious. But the part of it was, I'm continuing this today because it stuck with me. I had heard a song while I was in this state, and I still have to kind of mute out occasionally because I'll start coughing, but while I was in that state, I realized with not having a voice, but still having the commitment and the relationship I have with you through First Ladies Blog Talk Radio, I had to be on. So I dialed in and I got everything set and I sent the message to Lady Kathy, and she was so amazing in speaking the voice for me. I'm going to bring her in now while I'm doing my little housework first. I'll say good morning to you, Lady Kathy, but I'm going to do the housework first. Again, this is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Susan Lynn McDonald. I am coming to you from amazing Las Vegas, Nevada, where the sun is shining on both sides of the street. And as I always tell you, I'd like for you to stop for one moment. This next 26 minutes is for you. Get a cup of coffee, a glass of water, some hot tea, whatever it's going to take for you to be relaxed for the next 26 minutes with us. I'm choking already. Good morning, Lady Kathy.
Good morning, Lady Susie. It's so good to hear you totally and completely.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I've got my water.
I'm glad you sound wonderful.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love you, and I thank you so much for being my voice last week. I'm going to go ahead and talk about what we're going to talk about. We're going to jump in because we don't want to miss much. But last week, again, as you know, you knew how sick I was, and I couldn't even talk.
Oh,
and it was amazing because God gave it to me before I even knew. Will you speak for me when I have no voice? And as you know, our tags this week are, I trust you, and I know that you will say what I need to say. What has caused my voice to be silenced? And these are the questions that were also posed for our guest today, which is Judith Hilton. And the other one is, I trust you will speak for my heart, healed by the words of my testimony that are spoken through another source. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and I see that we have a few people on today. I'm going to go ahead and bring Judith in. But more than anything, I want to thank you for standing with me, for me, speaking for me, and talking. You spoke from my heart. When you opened your mouth, you sound like me, and when I open my mouth, I sound like you. That's what God's people
Absolutely.
Should be alive. Absolutely.
Yes, amen.
I'm so proud of you.
I am just, I had bronchitis once or twice in my life, and I literally thought I was going to die. I'd never been so sick before. It was just, oh my God, it's horrible. Bronchitis is no joke.
Yeah, it really affects your lungs and everything, and you really understand the Zoe breath of God. I just brought in Judith. Good morning, good morning.
Hey, good morning, ladies. I'm hearing the
good
organ
morning.
Recital there. Everybody's not doing well.
Yeah,
I'm having
a little going on.
Yes.
Praise God.
Good to hear your voices.
You
I'm going to go ahead and bring the other, we have another caller on. I'm going to bring her in, and you can listen, caller, 702-587-6430. If I think that's my sister, Jerusha.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everybody. How are you? And to my sister-in-law.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure.
Good morning, Apostle.
Good morning, Sister Kathy, the love of my heart. And my sister-in-law, Judith, and my sister, Susie. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Well, we're going to go ahead and, we're going to jump on in. And as I said, our title for today, and I sent Judith a few questions, but I'm just going to pose the questions to you so you'll be able to answer them and, you know, let God lead you as we go along. But the main thing is our theme for today is, will you speak for me when I have no voice? And Judith, I'm going to jump in with you first. And ladies, if you have any questions, just let me know. I'll hush and let you interject. But one of the questions that came to me, I'll use mine first. What has silenced you? Yes, it was bronchitis this time. But what and who could have shut the voice down? So my question to you is, once the voice has been shut down, how do you feel the confidence to reopen your mouth, Judith?
That's a loaded question, Susie Lane, because it can be shut down from speaking about an issue that people don't want to hear about. It could be shut down because of your belief, like what's happening right now in the Middle East, because of people's faith. They are being silenced because of what they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're dying daily for the cause of Christ. So it could be so many different reasons why people have to be silent. And, you know, the thing is, when we are normally vocal about, it could be about our faith, or it could be about, you know, what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ, or what we believe about an issue. And usually people try to quiet us or to silence us because it makes them uncomfortable to hear your belief, or sometimes it could make them, you know, annoyed. They want to run away. They don't want to believe. They don't want to surrender or submit to what you're saying, especially if you're speaking the word of God in truth and in love, and they will reject what you have to say. And sometimes they will say, enough is enough, and we don't want you speaking anymore on this issue. I think even now, right now in our church, and you can, ladies can be in prayer, we have a decision that we have to make in our church concerning, you know, our stance on certain issues. And we've, in different ways, there are people who are saying outside the church that you cannot believe this or you should not accept this, and so we want you to be quiet about it. But my husband and I have taken a stance, and we said, well, this is what the Bible teaches, and we're going to speak. But it's hard. It's hard to speak when you know that you're going to be rejected or persecuted, or people are going to abandon you, a fear of abandonment, rejection, being abused, shaming. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, we don't want to speak. And so the enemy sometimes chooses to silence us. And he doesn't come, you know, as a... you know, an angel of light. We know he comes as an angel of light sometimes. But we must speak. If it's the truth, we must speak it. But we must speak it in love.
You know what? The scripture just came to me when you said even what you're dealing with in your own ministry, and even this topic is 1 Timothy 5:18, where it says, do not muzzle an ox. And ox to keep it from eating. But in this situation, the same thing. Speaking from the position that you're talking about, again, silencing the voice, the Middle East, and how many people are being persecuted, we already know that we will be persecuted. But yes, in truth, as you said, the word truth stood out to me. I'd like to speak to the question I'd like to pose now. I'm posing the question that says, I trust you will speak for my heart, from your heart. Mm-hmm. My question is, in that truth, as long as it lines up with the word of God, we know that the persecution will take place. But again,
yes,
the stance. I'll give it back to you.
How do you, if I'm understanding you, how do you take a stand when you know what you're saying is true, but you're being persecuted for it? Is that what you're asking?
Absolutely.
Okay. The things that you stand on is, first of all, you have to ask yourself, examine yourself and say, let me use a scenario. For example, you have an opinion about something in your marriage, in your relationship, okay? And you feel very strong about that particular issue. Now, it lines up with truth. And you know, for example, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ
yes.
loved the church, okay? And if the
right.
husband is saying that, you know, he believes the Bible and he's a Christian and he has a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no evidence of that happening in his life and in relationship to you, and you say, honey, I really have observed that your behavior is not really reflecting what Christ says to love, you know, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And, you know, that's a concern for me. And you know, and the husband, you know, is adamant, you know, he's out there doing other things that he shouldn't be doing, or he's, not really treating me with respect or honoring me and making me feel loved and choosing to do truly what Christ says. And he's up, you know, kind of in your face with it, not necessarily acknowledging that he's not doing it, he's in denial, or he rejects what you say.
Right.
I would say one of the things to start doing is to model that, to model the love of Christ to him. And that's where your voice is going to be even more powerful. The great, most powerful tool or weapon a woman has is prayer, okay? Another powerful tool a woman has also is her tongue, which can be used for good or for bad. But the
right.
thing is, if she chooses to speak in love to that husband, that's why the Bible says you can win him over by your chaste conversation, meaning your pure conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the adorning of your hair, the plaiting of your hair, or the wearing of gold jewelry, but a gentle spirit. So reflecting that to him and modeling, even when he's not necessarily lovable, that you are modeling that before him. And that's a very powerful voice. And it doesn't mean by telling him that, oh, all the time, I love you, but acting out, showing him by your actions that even though you're not choosing to love me as Christ wants you to love me, as Christ said, love the church, I'm going to choose to model, and how you're behaving. I'm going to model Christ before this man. And hopefully, if his heart is sensitive to God's spirit, he's going to see the fruit of your love. He's going to see it, and it's going to be contagious, and it's going to affect him. So that's one of the ways you're empowered. You're empowered because God has given you his spirit. You know, with God, nothing is impossible. So even though it's a tough road to even speak when you know the person doesn't want you to say anything, one person wants you to shut up, you know that you're coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the scripture says that, a man with too many words is not free from sin. But it also says, soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. My class right now, I'm teaching a class at church on marriage and the tongue. And we talk about how to put a bridle upon our tongue as wives and as husbands. And this one husband, you know, was just kind of sharing, and I can share this because it's not in he didn't say it necessarily in conflict, but just how some men have a habit of you know, not listening to their wives, but the wives sometimes are talking too much, and they're talking so loudly, but the husband is not hearing because he's not coming out of a heart of love. So coming from a heart of love and not condemnation and not judgmental, then you can really reach that spouse or that person. It doesn't have to be a spouse. That person, when you do it with a desire, even though your desire is right, they may interpret it wrong, but you know if your desire is right, and it's ultimately not to cut down, but to value the person, the Lord is going to honor you. Somehow he's going to honor you. And that's where I think you have the power.
Wow.
Does anyone else have any questions they'd like to pose? That just was such a big piece of meat, I'm still chewing. That was beautiful, yeah. I mean, you know, you're always on time. I have to tell you, I tell you this every time. So even when you're teaching way over there on the East Coast days before the show, that's when I know that God is talking, and the key is I'm listening. I'm just blessed. I'm blessed. Is there anyone else with a question right now, Lady Kathy, Apostle Jerusha?
Sorry. I just want to commend my sister, my Judith. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. First, I wanted to commend my sister Judith for saying that about each partner, Stan, and what takes place, you know. And she brought some things to light in regards to sometimes we're talking too much and men shut off pretty much. But the key thing she said was, you know, no matter what is going on, what is going to win is the love. The love that's going to cover is really going to change that. That was a being moment for me. And an eye-opener, no matter, none of us are perfect, and we all bring issues to our relationship, but how can we overcome it? The challenges that marriage go through is so strenuous, especially living in a world, a society, that everything is toxic against marriage. And so how can we, as the body, and I'm going to pose this to Judith, and even to you guys, as the body, we represent the church in the earth, and we really are, I truly believe, we are the last stand of the church in marriage on earth, and the enemy is attacking it on every hand. The position, what is our position as women aside from love? What we can continue to do to fight the weapons of warfare because they're strong and mighty, and stand and not run away from our partners until we see the house built up.
Yes, very good question, and very, very timely, because that's my job. I do with couples in marriage, and I can tell you week from week, every week, I just literally see the scales literally fall, praise God, from people's eyes as they see themselves. When we look at ourselves, when we say to ourselves, what is it that I am contributing to this issue of this decay or decline in this relationship? Where is my heart? Where are my thoughts? What are the stories I'm believing about my spouse? What am I telling myself about the marriage? Is there no hope? Am I seeing that it's going to die? There's no hope. This man will never change. This woman will never change. And if you keep thinking and having those stories, rehearsing those stories in your mind, you will never be able to have victory. So one of the things I think I would say, Jerusha, is that the first thing is continue to stay, and this is not spiritualizing it now. This is serious. Continue to stay on your knees and warfare, because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, which already has unleashed the fact that your marriage must not last. It must not stand, because if it doesn't last, it's one more feather in the enemy's cap. He's going to rejoice, and the community is going to rejoice. The church is going, people are going to rejoice the fact that this person's wedding marriage is destroyed. Then the church becomes broken down. The church becomes even more weak. And people say, well, why do I even go to church? Because it's not making any difference in this couple's life. Why do I need to even spend time with God? Because it's not making any difference in my marriage. But I can tell you, I've seen many of my clients graduate. When they come to this place, every couple that seems to move on, I call it graduation when they leave, is the ones that that pray a lot together. They start developing a prayer time together. The ones that read their Bibles and talk about it together. The ones that they lean on others. They don't just lean on each other. They have a support group. I said, go and join a group. If you're having issues with this area, if it's sex, if it's alcohol, if it's join a group, an AA, a support group, a marriage group where you have other couples. Go to a Sunday school class. You have other couples who are struggling. Go to a women's group where you can support other women. And I'm telling you, I've never seen it fail so far. When they're in a support system, that is what also helps them to maintain that relationship. So you can't do it alone. There's a enemy out there literally raising his head up, a serpent that literally is wrapping his body around marriages and squeezing the very life out of marriages today. Ladies, I know you know that. So we have
infidelity?
Pardon me?
What about infidelity, which could be another show, because that is a big issue in many marriages, to pull the one that's standing away from that head or that body.
Yes, and that's definitely true. And that's one of the best strategies, because it brings pain into not only the person who has done the affair, but also the person who didn't do the affair, meaning the wife or the husband who didn't get involved that way. But the pressure is the community that it affects. Because, you know, we make choices, and we think it's only about us or this man or this woman, but there are so many other people that are hurt in the process, and that's why the enemy loves to do it, because it only doesn't only harm the husband and the wife. It hurts the other couple, if there's a husband and wife, that's fine. I just speaking to somebody this week who had a situation, not a client, with same situation, an affair, and the pain, what happened, the loss of the house, the loss of the community, the loss of the loss of the church, the loss for the children were split, the amount of things that happened, the pain of hearing that pain from that woman's heart. I mean, I literally was tearing up just talking to her. So I'm saying that we don't understand why we have to fight, because it's a battle. Yeah. And if our both husbands and us know that we are in a fight, and we are not our husband's enemy, we're not our wife's enemy. If we see ourselves as our enemy, then we are not going to make it. We have to see them as we are a team. Yes, I've lost trust in you because you did this affair, but I'm going to trust you again. I'm going to believe the best of you. And it's not easy, but only God can give you that supernatural intervention and say, with Christ, I can do all things. And if, as long as the husband or the wife is willing to work together, you can move mountains. If one is a little harder, but when both of you have decided you want to work on this marriage, and you lean on the support system, as I said, lean on the Word of God, pray, spend time praying together, I can tell you, that's a recipe for success. It is a recipe for success. I hope that answers your question.
I'd like to pose
really
a question myself. Yeah, I'd like to pose a question myself. And it's always about being transparent. For myself, this is Susie. My thing is, okay, now I have gone through the divorce portion of it, and I have seen the residue of what that does to the relationship in the ministry, and also even the toll it takes on us personally. Now he and I, we're doing great as friends. The issue that I want to pose that I know a lot of first ladies go through is the silence. Jerusha always says, I have to make sure how I say it too, because she says it and it's so profound. She says, how do you say that, Jerusha? And it's about muzzling, but what do you regularly say about that? There's a code of silence. And for me, I didn't grow up in the church that way, knowing first ladies and all of that. So that code of silence, you know, they say that first ladies are born. Jerusha told me that too. Hello. First ladies are born. They're not made. You can't be made. You'll be broken too quickly. there is a code of silence. Here's that voice thing again. How do you, and you, the part with prayer. How is it, I'll use myself, how is it that I, even now, like I said, we have come back together, and I would love for you to counsel both of us because I don't know what God's plan is right now, but we still are open to each other. That's fine. But the other part of that is I don't want to do it for everybody else's good unless it's correct with God. What is mm-hmm. it? How is it? Do I even handle this now?
Well, I know I don't know if our time allows for us to go into all of it, but I'm going to give it a nutshell. I really believe okay. that, as I said before, when two people have decided in their heart that they want to please God more than people, if mm-hmm. they that's their goal, I'm telling you, in the process of pleasing God, you might not please people, but it's still the best answer. That you have to decide that I want to do what's pleasing to the Lord. And, you know, yeah. Joseph said, you know, how can I do this thing and sin against God? He was more concerned uh-huh. about God. And if we can make, that's how we have our voice. If our voice and our heart and our desire is to please God first, Him first, seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added. I believe that if that's the goal, there's no way, Susie Lane, that you can lose in this decision. If it's ultimately to please God, if coming back together as a couple is saying, you know, because God hates divorce, right? But
right.
He does reject people who go through that. He's saying, my grace mm-hmm. is sufficient, and I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you another opportunity to restore the years that the locust has eaten. And it can happen. So I believe that it is your belief. Stop believing that it's not going to work. Stop believing that it's going to fail. Stop believing that there's no way I'm going to heal. You know, and if we keep those negative thoughts, it's going to produce negative fruit. And we're going to speak. When we speak, it's going to be negative. So we have to always ask ourselves the question, is this to glorify God and ultimately edify others? Glorify God, edify others. That's my goal. Of course, I want to bring glory to, I'm not glory to myself, but glory to God. That's the goal. But if you do that first, I really believe that that's going to be a big part of the solution to whatever you're going through, that I want your will more than anything else, Lord.
Jerusha spoke about infidelity, being transparent again. When there's a new child, a baby, I'm going to interject that part of the scenario. How do you handle that?
Well, that's a loaded one. There's so many different views on that. But I still believe if a child has come about in the midst of the relationship, if it's the relationship at that an affair and the child is born, there's still, the child didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
That child should still be loved and nurtured and blessed, you know, because the child didn't do anything. The adults, the two adults in the relationship, those are the ones that need to resolve and work their issue out. And I would suggest that they definitely need to see counseling. I think there's no way, and I mentioned some things in my book about the fact that when you go through challenges and trials, there's no way you can just tell yourself that it will all work out. Things will just fall
right.
into place. You need the support of a community. That's why therapy, I believe in it. I really do believe if you get a good counselor that really is not telling you to divorce or to get out, that even if a child is involved, I've seen it many times, it can still work if the individuals are willing to surrender over to God and not their own wills.
Well, wow, today has been a mouthful. It's been a great time to digest. We are now into 51 seconds. I'd like for you to, first of all, tell them about your book. We have about 50 seconds. Your book is phenomenal. I read it again last night. The Faith of the Pastor's Wife, Surviving in Ministry Yet Remaining in Love with God and His People. Talk about your book, where they can purchase it, and how they can basically contact you if need be.
Yes, well, my website is my email address. Let me give this, judhilton@aol.com. Jud, J-U-D-H-Y-L-T-O-N at AOL.com. And I am old school. I use AOL. Can you believe it? But the book is also The Faith of a Pastor's Wife, and it's true. You can get it through Amazon. Preferably, Westbow Press is the best one to go through because they are the ones that contracted with me to do this book. But I really believe that there's a lot of good meat there, and I really would love for you to purchase it. It's about $11.95. It's very cheap. And if you order it through me, it's like $10. So that would be one opportunity or another way to get the book. So thanks so much for allowing me to share this.
You are so welcome. Is there anyone else that would like to have any closing thoughts or words? We still have a few moments.
I just want to this show has been totally phenomenal, and like you guys are saying, it's such an eye-opener because what she said made you see yourself, and that's the only way that a relationship is going to change. First, you must see your faults and your contribution to the relationship. So this has been wonderful. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And Apostle Jerusha?
I have nothing to say. I think this is a great closing part, and I would have this as a continuance and then pick up the topic as infidelity in marriage and how to stand or something. You know, this will be a good next show. Just a suggestion.
Yeah,
wonderful. Well, that's perfect for us. And what we need, Judith just gave you her email. If you would pose the questions that you have on your mind as well. This is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. We will have Judith back with us, Judith Hilton. She's here the second and the fourth of every month. She is our own Dr. Phil here at First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. Not only are you a blessing, but we speak blessings over you, the house, and the issues that you have to deal with even in your own ministry, and yet you still minister to women and us here on this show. First Ladies Blog Talk would like to thank you. And again, get the book.
Thank you.
The Faith of the Pastor's Wife, Surviving in Ministry, Yet Remaining in Love with God and His People. This book is not just for First Ladies. It's for every lady that's in ministry.
Yes.
Because ministry is not always easy. But God never said it would be. Again, I would like to thank you, Judith Hilton, Jerusha McDonald Hilton, Lady Kathy Howard, my co-host. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Hands of Comfort Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that deals with anything that's traumatic to you. The 24-hour number that you can call is 702-683-6373. And also, Destined for Glory Ministries, Pastor Tony Howard, and Lady Kathy Howard. Everyone have an amazing day. Judith, I'll be talking to you later, and I'll be sending this to you today. And everyone have an amazing day. I look forward to every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Have a great day, and thank you for joining us. Have an amazing day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Love you guys.
Bye-bye.